Welcome back to Wellness Wednesdays. I'm your host, Eric Collard. This week, we got another special guest, Andrew Scott, business guy. Pretty cool story. Started his first business at 20. He's still in his 20s, so he's still fairly young, but has had a couple of trials and tribulations since then and has done a complete 180 on the health front over last year, lost 80 pounds, and we're here to find out a bit more about all of that. So welcome to the podcast, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
So we'll start at the beginning. I guess if you start your own business at 20, you've had a bit of a business inkling your whole life. So how did that get started?
Yeah, you know, my family have always kind of run a small business. So I grew up in a small town in New Brunswick.
What town?
Yeah, so it's called Woodstock. So okay. Woodstock, New Brunswick.
Is that the longest covered bridge in...
Very close.
Oh, okay.
15 minutes from there. And so that's Heartland is where that is.
Okay.
So yeah, 15 minutes from there. And my family owned a funeral home. So people were just dying to see us. We like to joke. You know, so it was good. So we were always on call. Like I remember being a kid and we would have, you know, a basketball game or something like that. And all of a sudden my dad would get called away because he had to go and he had to work because that kind of business is 24/7. But I knew from a young age that although I didn't want to be in that particular business, no interest at all. Sorry, Dad.
Yeah.
But I really knew that I liked having a flexible schedule. I liked being my own boss. I knew that, you know, there were opportunities out there. And if I was going to make something of myself, I wanted to kind of see what I could accomplish and do it on my own. So that's what really drew me to business as a whole.
Yeah. And it's tough. Most people that don't have a business think that business folks just hang out, play golf all afternoon or go to the gym whenever they want, which that can happen. But there's also... I mean, depending on who and what and where, like I work most weekends on my own, you know, just because I enjoy it. And it's not always about puppy dogs and unicorns. And a lot of times the business can take a huge toll on the health of entrepreneurs. And I think it's the good thing is we're starting to talk about it. And I've actually talked about it with a couple of guests over the last 6 months. And we're talking about a lot more and people are a little bit more open to hearing about it.
Yeah.
And so tell us about, you know, why did you make this transformation and how it happened?
Yeah, okay. So I think the best way to go about it would be to start at the beginning, to kind of show you the evolution. So when I was younger, I was going to conquer the world. That was my goal. I was a young, fit guy. I was captain of the basketball team. I was in the local paper every week for a lot of different stuff that I was doing. And it was great. And so then I moved to Ottawa because I wanted to challenge myself. I wanted to see what I could accomplish. And coming from a town of 5,000 people, Ottawa was a pretty big city. I mean, it might not seem like that for us here. But so I went to University of Ottawa, got a couple years in, and I was like at that point, hey, you know what? I want to see what else I can do. So I thought of the craziest thing I could do at 20 years old, which was to buy a Pita Pit franchise. So I was working there part-time, and somehow we managed to scrape the capital together, and the bank was actually lending at that point because it was before the crash in 08. But I got in there, and I realized, hey, you know what? Things aren't going very well. Our expenses were too high. Our sales were really, really low. And within a few months, we were going to be bankrupt. And so what I did was I worked as hard as I could. I worked 80 hours a week, 120 hours a week, depending. And I was still in university part-time at the same time.
Yeah.
So I would work during the day, and then someone would come in and replace me, and I would go to class, and then I would come back, and I would work until 3 in the morning, close up the store, go home for 5 hours, wake back up, and do it all again. And I did this for 2 years straight because I realized that what was going to happen if I failed, not only would I be bankrupt, not only would I lose everything and start out my life from a very deficit point, but my dad had also co-signed our loan. So if I failed, he's going to lose his house.
So having all that on your mind in your early 20s is not an easy burden. So how did that affect your mental health?
You know what? It definitely cost me a lot. So for example, you know, I lost every friend that I ever had. So because I focused only on the business, you know, I just kind of alienated myself from a lot of people. I didn't see my family for years. They're the ones that had to visit me. Like I never made it back home for quite a while. And it really took its toll on me. So I remember after getting burnout, just working so many hours and also making very poor health choices at the same time. You know, I would eat fast food, even though the food at Pita Pit was healthy. After making food for other people all day, you don't want to go home and spend a half an hour cooking your own dinner if you only have 3 hours off, you know? So I remember this one night. It was a Tuesday night, and I was driving down Bank Street, and it was about 3:30 in the morning after I closed up the store. And I just remember driving and seeing this pair of headlights in the distance. And all I could think about at that point was all the stuff that was going wrong in my life. So if I failed, my dad would lose his house. You know, I was worried about how are we going to pay our rent. You know, I was almost going to be evicted from my apartment. We were bouncing checks to the landlord. Our sales were low. Everything in my life was failing. I was failing. And that was really, really hard for me to accept. And all I could think of is driving down the road and seeing those headlights and wondering, what if I just let go of the wheel? What would happen? If that car could just cross the road and hit me, in a few seconds, it could all be over. In a few seconds, I could finally be free. And that was a dark point for me because it was something I had never really thought of in my life. But in my head at that point, you know, my dad wouldn't lose his house. My staff could find new jobs. You know, everyone could go back to normal and I would finally be free from that circumstance. And that is what really sticks with me today, because things could have been a lot different had I not kept my hands on the wheel, had I not kept going and pushing through. Things could be very different for my family. So how that affected my mental health, I would say it affected me a lot. And to some degree, I'm still dealing with those effects today. It wasn't only until last year that I really started to regain a sense of confidence in who I was. Because for the longest time, even though my business started succeeding later, even though we grew our sales, we grew to multiple locations, we've done a lot of great things. I was awarded the Young Entrepreneur of the Year award in Canada last year, which was great. But it's funny because I still felt that I was a failure all through that time because of my first few years.
And what helped you through those tough times? What made you not turn the wheel or keep your hands on the wheel, I guess?
Yeah, you know what? It's tough because some days I still wonder why. I can't really explain why I didn't do that night. I've thought a lot about it. I've really tried to recreate that scenario in my mind, and I still can't figure out, but I kept putting one foot in front of the other. You know, for me, failure just wasn't an option. And I think that although it was hard, I think I just kept moving forward and we made some of the right decisions. We kept pushing forward. There was just this drive inside of me that just kept me going. And I wish I could explain it more than that because it's really, really, you know, it sounds weird to say it, but I don't know what it was. Something kept me going and I still can't explain it, but.
And you, I'm sure you wish you could bottle it and then sell it because you'd probably selling a lot of it. And again, it's not a story that's, I've heard a lot of similar stories. It's not easy being an entrepreneur. I mean, there's some good times, some bad times. And
even in a day, like it could go up and go down and you could wonder why you're doing this. And then it's only, you know, 9:30.
Yeah. And I've had one of those days today. So I can totally relate. I'd love to, especially on the health front, what were some of the little steps that you've done? Because obviously losing 80 pounds in a year is a pretty cool accomplishment.
Yeah.
What were some of the steps, especially concrete steps, that people can kind of say, oh, this is something I might not have thought about?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what led me up to that was obviously I was in a pretty bad state. But once the business started doing better, once things started working, I realized, hey, you know, I've got a successful business, you know, I'm married, you know, have a nice house, like all those things were in line, but why am I still not happy? And so I realized this just after a conference.
I thought buying a house would just fix everything. Getting married and buying a house fixes everything.
Yeah, no.
Is that not true?
Marriages work, believe it or not. Yeah. You know, surprise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing with a house.
Yeah.
But I love mowing the lawn, by the way.
Yeah.
No, not really. But yeah, so I was just in the point where I'm like, okay, so why am I not happy? And I realized that I just wasn't happy with who I was. And so I made that decision driving back from that conference. I said, you know what, today is going to be the last day that I'm ever going to be overweight and do nothing about it. And so it was that promise to myself that started everything. So the next day I got up and I started running. And I got up, you know, maybe half an hour earlier, and my wife looked at me and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go for a run. She's like, no, you're not. Get back in bed.
Lovely encouragement.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, she'd never seen me do anything like that. I used to make fun of the guys that would go to the gym. I'd be like, oh, I got better stuff to do. I'm going to go make some money instead of, you know, doing bicep curls. Yeah. But in reality, I'm one of those guys now. But I was always jealous secretly. So the things that I did, I've always said that the key to success for me is just focusing on one thing. So I started running, and then the next day I ran a little bit further. And then the day after that, I ran a little bit further again. So granted, I was running for like 5 minutes at a time because I was 250 pounds and could barely, you know, like walking down the stairs was tough for me sometimes. So it started out small, but I made that into my routine. And then once that became my routine, then I did a group workout with one of my friends who was always into fitness. So I found someone else that was doing well fitness-wise, and I learned from them. And then once that became my routine, we did that once a week for a couple months, then I got a personal trainer, and then that became my routine. So the concrete stuff is really in, you know, what I say is, especially with New Year's resolutions, everybody's all crazy about that. And
for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Everyone's really crazy about it for 2 weeks, yeah.
Everybody tries to change their entire lives in 2 weeks, and it just doesn't work because people take on too much stuff, and then they go crashing back to their comfort zone, what they're used to. So kind of like the frog in water, like, you know, you turn up the heat and the frog never notices it boil until it's too late. It was similar for me because I just started with one thing and one thing at a time. And so a great example I use is a lot of people love coffee, but because people love coffee so much, I'm not going to use that as an example. Let's use like Coke for an example. So like Coca-Cola, say if somebody was drinking 3 cans a day of Coca-Cola, what you could do is, could you swap out one of those for water? That's totally feasible. Like, that's something you can do if you normally have them at like the same times or for dinner. You could easily switch out one. And then once you do that, you say, hey, you know, could you switch out another one? Yeah, no problem. Like, it just becomes easy over time. Okay. You know, you just create a new habit, create a new routine. And that's really what has really helped me. So I started with running, then personal training, but diet is huge. Okay. Like, if I had to look at it, diet is the biggest thing. So I started watching what I was eating. Because if I'm going to go to the gym, if I'm going to be healthy, I'm not going to be slamming back a medium pizza every night. You know, so I decided to then focus on having just some good meals. So, you know, a little bit more protein. I cut out things like bread. I love bread. Like bread, like if I could marry bread, I would have married it by now. But I started cutting that out and focusing on like trying to reduce the sugar intake, for example. You know, just focusing on real clean foods, like stuff that you can make at home, like stuff that doesn't come from a box. Yeah. You know, just focus on doing that. And I found it to be so comforting now to actually portion out my meals in advance. So like, Eric, I don't know, are you the type of guy that like, if I gave you one piece of chocolate, like, would you be okay with that?
Yeah. I especially now I've really worked again. I had a similar, look at things. Cause I used to just eat cause I was active. I could get away with it. And then as you get older, you realize that I'm not. So now, yeah. I mean, if you'd have done that to me 5 years ago, I'd be like, I might need a couple more pieces.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? So my wife, is the kind of girl who, if you gave her one piece of chocolate, she'd be like, yeah, no, that's perfect. I'm satisfied. I had some chocolate. For me, if I took a piece of chocolate from a chocolate bar, the rest of the bar would be gone. I have no self-control, you know? And so for a guy with no self-control that loves food, loves pasta, loves bread, loves, you know, like potatoes and dressing and all that kind of stuff. How did I manage to lose that weight? And so part of it was actually just restricting myself so that I would only eat, like I would eat at certain times, but I would pre-portion out my meals. So I would eat what I had and then that's it. Whereas if you go to a buffet, you're always going to overeat because it always looks good and you always want more and your brain doesn't kick in and say, hey, you know what? You've probably ate too much. Yeah. You know, it takes a little while. So that's one of the biggest things that I did.
Yeah, the prep work is huge, and it is a bit of an investment of time and / or money, especially if you're trying to eat well. But to me, that's been – and I mean, I'm lucky. I really enjoy cooking. Not everyone's like that. I mean – my brother, God love him, he just doesn't like cooking.
Yeah.
So for him, I mean, it's not even an option. I mean, it could be if he, but.
So actually, I'll challenge you on that real quick if you don't mind, because when you think about it, if you're going to cook every night anyway, you spend like, what, half an hour cooking or something like that every night?
Yeah.
So say you do that 5 nights a week, all of a sudden you're looking at a few hours. So for me, I spend 1, maybe 2 hours a week doing my meal prep. So I would literally cook a whole bunch of chicken at one time, a whole bunch of rice, a whole bunch of whatever foods I'm going to eat, and I just cook it all at once, and then I just, you know, dig it out as I need it. So realistically, it actually isn't even more time to do that in advance. It's just less every day because you're going to cook anyway.
Yeah, it's a big Timothy Ferris batching principle. It's something I actually end up doing on Sundays. Yeah. I spend a long time on Sunday cooking for the week. I also like try to be spontaneous once in a while and just say, hey, what do I want tonight? And then cook once in a while, because as much fun it is to eat out of containers, sometimes it is fun to eat, even if it's not like I want to eat like a chocolate cake. I just want to eat, you know, sautéed vegetables. I just have a craving for those or something.
You know what? And what it found for me is my wife and I on Friday nights, we'll go out to dinner.
Yeah.
And that's amazing because before we would go out 2 or 3 times a week and we wouldn't think anything of it. It wouldn't be anything special. But now this once a week, we go out. It's our little date night and we eat whatever we want. And it is just amazing. Because I look forward to that all week. And it's like, oh, it's Friday because we get to go out and spend some time together. We can, you know, just enjoy it. So it just becomes so much more enjoyable, you know.
It's funny you mentioned that the going out and social and that kind of stuff, because a recent interview was talking about the psychology and the stuff in your brain. And having a social circle is so key to your wellness.
Yeah.
Can you think of some people, and you don't have to name names, but some people that really helped you in your, and how are those people key in your transformation?
Yeah. You know what? I will have to say, so there's this one guy, his name's John, and he's the kind of guy that he doesn't take any crap from anybody. Like if you, you know, give him
tough love. Yeah.
Yeah. No, if you give him a fake answer, he'll call you out on it and he's not afraid to do that. So, I mean, he's kind of got like a love hate thing going on depending on who you're talking to. But what's been so great about him is he really challenged me. He says, Andrew, you know, what are you doing about your health? And I had never been asked that. So I was like, oh, I just kind of made up some stupid answer when in reality it wasn't nothing. I wasn't
doing anything. I have We Fit.
So, you know, it's interesting because he would just challenge me on that. And he would keep challenging me. So eventually, he's the one that started organizing these group workouts, and I went just to get him to shut up.
Yeah. What happened. Hey, whatever works, right?
But you know what? Yeah. But I get in there, and then I'm like, wait a second. Okay, this could work. This, you know, was something I was interested in. You know, I was terrible. Like, I was talking to my trainer the other day. He's like, man, you remember when you first came in here? Like, you were almost falling down, and you couldn't do any of the exercises, but you stuck with it. And that's the thing. Like, you made a promise to yourself, and you did not go back on that.
So what do you think made you stick with it? Because I'm sure, and if you look at most overweight people, they're not like, oh, this is so much fun. I love being overweight.
Oh, it
sucks. And so what made you stick with it?
Yeah. So the way I looked at it is just kind of a balance of incentives. So being overweight comes with its challenges. You know, you're tired a lot of the time. You don't have a lot of motivation. I mean, A, your health obviously isn't good in long term. That's going to have some big complications. But my businesses were suffering because of it, because I wasn't as invested in them. My mental health, the same way. When I was overweight, I was angry and stressed out. I just didn't have the same love of life as I do now. I didn't have the same outlook. So realistically, being might be an hour of struggle, but that means I don't have to live the other 23 hours a day with that same struggle. So it's either the pain is kind of a dull ache that's constantly there, or you can do it all in once and then be happy for the rest of that time. That's the way I looked at it. So I knew that going into it, I knew that in order to succeed, I had to stick with it, because anything in life that you want to do, you simply need to see it through. And it's going to take work. It's going to be challenging, but the best rewards come from that. And what I love about fitness is you can't buy your way into it. It's not about how much.
I heard about a magic pill on the internet the other day.
I definitely did not buy that one. The Somali prince actually emailed me too about a different one too.
Okay.
But you know, money can't buy it. You have to work for it. It's the great equalizer. You know what? So when you see someone that's in shape, you know that they worked for it and that you need to be proud of your accomplishments. So, and that's one thing, no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, you can always be healthy. It's a choice that we make. And so really what kept me going, I think, is just knowing that that's what I wanted. I was not happy with the way that I was, and I was never going to go back there. Whether it killed me to get better, I was going to do it. And I just made that in my mind, and I knew that if I ever backed down from it, I was letting myself down. But the other key was starting small enough so that I could build on my successes. So when I talked about running before and making that my routine, I was successful with that. And then I started to get a personal trainer and go to the gym a little bit. So I, you know, maybe went once a week. And then I built that into my routine. Then I went twice. And so you're actually building on your success. Mm-hmm. And instead of trying to change the world all at once, which is impossible, you start small and you continue. And then once you get, you know, like say 7 successful steps, you're feeling pretty good. You're starting to see some results. Things are working in that direction. And it motivates you even more to continue.
Yeah. Baby steps are sustainable. That's the one that's the one they say. So what's your fitness routine like now these days? Just pizza and chips every night? Yeah.
So these days, you know what, I usually, it's a time thing for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, having 3 businesses, it's challenging, you know, plus trying to have a little bit of family time and plus, you know, having a social life too and, you know, doing things like that, it's challenging. So what I do is I've actually started getting up earlier in the morning because I find that I love mornings. Yeah. I never used to. I used to stay up all night.
You're one of those people.
Yeah. No, actually, I never was. But I get up early enough so my alarm goes off, and I somehow just manage to roll out of bed, put pants on, provided that I remember, and I go to the gym, and I actually go on the stair climber for a little bit first thing in the morning, and I'll actually take a book that's on my phone, like a little iBook, and I will read it. So it actually gets my mind going, and then what I do is I'll go straight to work and start working because I love the mornings because there's nobody else there. It's peaceful. It's great that way. So I've done my cardio, and I have done that before most people roll out of bed. And so I feel so like no matter what else I do in the rest of the day, I'm starting on a good foot, you know. And then I go through the rest of my day, and then I take out a little bit of time in the afternoon where I do some weights because that's when I have the energy. And luckily, you know, as a business owner, I can make my schedule so that I have like an hour of time in the afternoon. I pop in, pop out, and then I go home and finish the rest of my work after that. And so until, you know, 6 or 7. But that's what it's all about. I do weights in the afternoon, do my cardio or whatnot in the morning. And it's what works in my routine. And so whatever you guys are trying to do, it's about figuring out what's going to work for you in the long run. Because I can tell you what I do, and that's great, but that may not work with your schedule. Maybe you have kids, maybe you have other stuff.
Shift work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you have to find, like, when do you have energy? And what can you feasibly commit from a time perspective to do it? And then you say, okay, I have only half an hour. Well, you know what? Half an hour is better than nothing. So start there and work on that.
And so you talk about cardio and weights. What do you do for each?
Yeah, so cardio, typically stair climber or just like walking. It's nothing like super intense. I usually run in the summer a little bit more, but it's winter now. And it's like, you know, not cool. So I try
not to. It is actually really cool to run in the winter, but.
Yeah, no, I'm not that guy. Okay. I'm not that guy.
We'll chat after.
Yeah. So, although I'm sure it would be, sure it would be nice. Yeah, I don't think you're going to convince me, but we'll talk. For weights though, that's a lot of fun. So that's where a personal trainer comes in really, really handy. I've always said, you know what? There's people out there that know what they're doing, and if you get the right person to show you, you feel so much more confident. And so I've been working with a personal trainer now, and they've shown me everything to do. They give me a plan to do. And it's great. And so I go in there and I'm happy as a clam. I do my plan and things are great. So just a lot of different strength training stuff. And, you know, they will challenge you as well and know where you need to go, what body parts are weaker than others, or even from, you know, my wife's a physio as well. So from a stability perspective, say you have a weak knee, well, they can give you exercises that are going to help you strengthen those body parts. And so that's what I focus on. It's great. I mean, there's so many little tips and tricks that you can do with weights, but it's just a lot of fun. Like I enjoy it now. And this is coming from someone who used to laugh at people that would go to the gym and would literally make fun of them. I was the guy that would say, hey, why have a six pack when you can have a keg?
Yeah.
I mean, that was my joke.
Yeah.
But here I am now, lifting weights and doing cardio at like 5:30 in the morning. Yeah. Who am I?
Yeah. Who is this imposter?
Pretty much.
Yeah. And you talked about having a personal trainer or a coach, and, yeah. and I think one of the biggest things for that is accountability.
Oh, absolutely.
And that really helps along, because there's some days you don't feel like getting up at 5:30 or going to the gym in the afternoon, but knowing that, yeah, and whether you talked about incentives, whether it's a positive or negative incentive, like you're going to lose money or you're going to get fatter, like
yeah.
having that stuff work for yeah. you.
You know, accountability is great, because I will be honest, I struggle with motivation. I think everyone does. I mean, like, I'm a pretty motivated
Even
guy.
Tony Robbins struggles with motivation. So
you know, and so I literally went to the gym one day, I got in there, and then I went to the bathroom, and then I walked out of the gym and went home. Because, yeah. I mean, some days you get there and you're like, yeah, I don't really want to do this. Yeah. And I would love to be like, yeah, I'm the guy that always pushes through. But no, I struggle with that too. Yeah. But I have a personal trainer that I know I meet up with him, you know, once a week. And I know he's going to be seeing if I've been working out or not. I know if I miss an appointment with him, he's going to be texting me like, hey, man, where are you? Like, what's going on? I know that I'm accountable to him. So even if you don't want to spend the money on a personal trainer, even a friend who has been to the gym a few times or whatever it is, if you can actually set up with your schedule to say, hey, let's both go to the gym, because you're not going to let your buddy down.
Yeah.
And if you're not there, you know, then you have to face them later. But it's just about finding that person that will hold you accountable no matter what you're doing, whether it's in your business, your life, no matter what it is. We are never able to be fully accountable to ourselves. We always have that weakness. We want someone else to come in and basically tell us the truth, you know, and hold us accountable. So that's a great point.
Yeah, and a lot of times people, it's just holding a mirror. And it's like, it's not always pretty, but at least it's there and it's real.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So one more question, because I know you're a busy guy and you got to get back to all the businesses, but this has been a lot of fun. What does wellness mean to you?
Hmm.
And I'm sure that would have been a totally different answer had it been a couple years ago.
Oh, but, absolutely. Yeah. Wellness would have been like floating in a pile of money. But the truth is, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not still, but for some people, I'm sure. But no, you know what? Wellness, like the way I look at it, is wellness I equate to just being happy and content. So wellness to me would be, you know, having everything you need, but also being satisfied with who you are, with where you're at in life. Even if you're not at your goals, also being content that you're on the path to that. Wellness just is happiness and just being happy with who you are. I think that's really what it means to me.
Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of people, especially when you're younger, and it's happened to me as well, is you think that the next car will make you happy, or the next house, or the next business, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's always going to be the next thing. And then, as I can tell you, as I'm older, much older than you, I'm much wiser. I'm getting some white hair now, so I can tell you that's not the case. Yeah. But also, you're so right. Like, it's just taking a step back and being okay with hanging out on the couch by yourself on a Saturday night, like, and just being like content with your day to day and there's a quote out there, I forget who said it, but basically happiness is not wanting more things, it's just being happy with what you got.
And, absolutely. And we spend so much of our lives trying to get to that place where we get more and get the next thing. And you know what? That's one thing I've learned too. I mean, I may be a little younger than you, but that's, you know what? I've been lucky enough to realize that it's just being happy with who you are. Is the best investment you can ever make. It just makes everything else in your life so much better. You know, the food tastes so much sweeter and just life is better. You come away with a different outlook. You go, you know, I go out every day. I'm like, what can I accomplish today? What can I do? How can I challenge myself? And it's such a great feeling that I never had before.
That's awesome. Thank you for taking the time and much appreciated sharing some of that wisdom. Where can people find out more about you on the internet, social stuff?
Yeah, so my website is andrewrscott.com, and all my social links are on there. I'd love to have you guys check it out. Just shares my story a little bit, where I've been and where I'm going, and I've just been posting a lot of content lately on social media because I'm still in the middle of my journey. I mean, I may have lost 80 pounds, but you know what? I have this radical goal that I'm actually going to stand on stage in a competition and, you know, for me, it's not something I ever dreamed of doing before, but I just wanted to prove that having, you know, a guy at 250 pounds can do anything when you put your mind to it. So andrewrscott.com. Hopefully you guys will check it out. And thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, and I'll put all those links in the show notes. Again, thanks, Andrew, for sharing that. And you've been listening to Wellness Wednesdays. I'm your host, Eric Collard. Until next week, be well.